You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Jesus is not in the tomb. Jesus is not in the tomb. He has been raised and the veil is torn. Jesus is not in the tomb.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Light Show. My name is Kate DeVries. I work in the Young Adult Ministry Office right here in the Archdiocese of Chicago. Our outreach is to people in their 20s and 30s, both married and single. And I am delighted to be spending the next hour with you, along with my colleague in ministry, Father John Cusick. Good morning, Father Cusick.
Good morning, Dr. Kate.
Yay, Father Cusick is our director of the Young Adult Ministry Office.
And great.
It's good to have you back, Father Cusick.
That's right.
We missed you last month.
Last month I was out preaching Jesus.
There you go.
How about that? That's right.
All those parish missions that happened during that Lenten season.
Right. It's good. It's good to be back.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, today we are celebrating Easter. We are continuing the celebration that happened a week ago last Sunday, and we are talking about resurrection.
And today, liturgically, is Wednesday of the second week in the Easter season.
Yes. Yes.
And so what we'd like to do today, folks, if it's okay with you, those of you who are listening live and those of you who perhaps might have pulled this up from our website, which is yamchicago.org, where we put our monthly radio stations, and they can be podcasts to both either to your computer or to any kind of an MP3 device if you're working out or running or on your way to work or something. We're going to today do a little conversations on the resurrection.
Yes, we are.
And so we're going to ask all of you who might be listening in one form or another to why don't you try this question? What impact does the resurrection of Christ really have on you? Because the key thing about faith in Jesus is that it's not just about Jesus, but because of Jesus, it's about all of us. And so we just think that in this Easter season, it would be really a delightful kind of a opportunity. And if that has got some intrigue to you and you'd like to sort of call in and say, you know, what impact the resurrection has. The call-in number here is at Relevant Radio is 312-255-8408. Let me repeat that so it's in case you're driving. 312-255-8408. And what impact does the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, you know, have on how you live your life and the faith that is a gift from God?
Indeed, we would love to hear from everybody.
Great.
Love to hear from you. Yes. So join us in our conversation, 312-255-8408.
And we have a very special guest with us today. And even before I introduced Tom, he made a comment as we were coming into the studio this morning, which he said, isn't it a beautiful day to celebrate Easter or to reflect on Easter?
Yes.
And here it is, the middle of April, and it's going to be almost 80 degrees in Chicago. The trees are opening. It's warm, and it's supposed to be like drizzly in April and damp and cold. And Tom, I went to the Cubs opener the other day, and I got nervous because the weather was too nice.
Wait, when's the shoe going to drop?
That's right. I had my coat, I had my gloves, I had my hat, because I've sat there for so many years on opening day and watched snow flurries go by from right to left, not from up to down. And I'm thinking, my God, it's 60 degrees.
Yeah.
But this is the season of resurrection. It's the season of spring. And this is the season when we celebrate new life.
Yes.
And I think the great thing spiritually is that new life there's reminders of it everywhere you go.
Right.
Things coming out of the ground, things coming off of the trees. There's a transformation in color. And I really think there's a transformation in attitude in an awful lot of people when it gets good. So I've alluded to the name Tom, and let's put a whole name on that. This is Mr. Tom McGrath, who's with us. Good morning.
Good morning, John.
And
good
Tom morning, and I, Tom and I go way, way back. And as we walked into what we, Tom and I would know was Quigley, this is where we went to high school.
Well, I went to Quigley South.
You went to South. Okay. So, okay. See, I went here for 3 years.
My father went here. And,
okay. There you go.
His picture hung in the halls here.
And so. I'm pretty certain for those of you who have a memory about Quigley that we are now sitting on the floor of the gym, which was the gym at one time. That's right. I forgot. You're just you're a youngster.
I am. Well, I don't know about that, but relatively.
Yeah. And Tom is vice president of product development at Loyola Press, and Loyola Press, you know, is the printing arm of the Jesuits, you know, here in the Chicago area, and they continue to put forth religious education series, a lot of books on a variety of things. We've been very blessed and fortunate to read a bunch of their material. Joel Papraki, who is on staff there, has done some wonderful things on scripture and on catechesis and things like that.
And he's enhanced our website hugely. So if people are looking for some good resources in any topics relating to what it means to be Catholic, look up resources at yamchicago.org.
And that would really help all of us.
Absolutely.
In that kind of thing. Yeah. Tom, talk about Tom McGrath. Let's locate you in
I'm
Chicago history and Catholic history.
There you go.
I grew up on the south side at St. Symphorosis Parish.
Okay, I was a little further south, St. Thomas More.
Okay,
so, yeah, right
and
there.
Went to Quigley, had moved then to out to LaGrange, St. Francis Xavier.
Okay.
After Quigley, I worked at Maryville Academy for a while, taught at St. Mary Perpetual Help down in 32nd and Morgan. I've been a catechist, a high school teacher, religion teacher, and then I got hooked up with U.S. Catholic. I started working for U.S. Catholic.
I remember that.
And some great years there with some wonderful people at U.S. Catholic, and worked at TrueQuest Communications for a while with Patrice Tuohy, who I know you know.
Oh, yeah, sure, all the Tuohys.
Yeah, all the Tuohys, and right not too far from Old St. Pat's. And so that's been my career, and then most recently at Loyola Press, which is a great group. It's a Jesuit ministry, part of the Chicago province. Good stuff. Worked in mainly as a writer and editor, and trying to get the word out, preaching through the word mainly.
And in my personal history, you and your wife and family are members of a very significant parish.
That's right.
Which is?
St. Vitor's Parish on the northwest side. Now, I met a girl from the north side, and we ended up on the north side.
Well, those of us from the south side would say she married up, but we won't go there.
She would argue with you.
I know. But the reason St. Vitor, as Tom probably is aware, is significant to me is that's where my mom and dad were married.
That's right.
And that's where a lot of my family lived at 3912 Eddy Street, and where I celebrated a lot of funerals of my aunts and a variety of people. So it's a very sacred shrine.
It's a wonderful parish, too.
Yeah.
A lot going on there.
That's great. That's exciting about that. And so we've rooted you in history. And how about real quickly before we go to a break in a minute or so, what are you doing these days, Tom, at Loyola Press?
Well, probably one of the most exciting things is that we were, when the iPad came out, Loyola Press had an app on there, our three-minute retreat, which we're pretty proud of that, being at the cutting edge. The three-minute retreat is our most popular online little application that you can get, whether at www.loyolapress.com or three-minute retreat on the iPhone, the iPad. It's a great way to nurture your faith through the day, and everybody's got at least 3 minutes.
Sure.
But we also celebrated 100,000 sales of Jim Martin's book, My Life with the Saints.
Wow.
We've got some great books coming out.
Yeah.
On discernment. We've really found our Ignatian roots, and the Ignatian spirituality really infuses everything we do, even our catechetical material.
Now, I've always thought, and Kate, correct me if you think I'm wrong on this, that Ignatian spirituality is a prime point of connection, it should be, to young adults in their faith.
Oh, I think
because
so.
Because it's so connected to daily experience.
Yep.
Start there and move to God.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We bring who we are, not who we wish we were or thought we ought to be. We bring who we are. God meets us right where we are.
Exactly.
And where else is God going to meet us?
And so if we can stay in touch with who we are,
that's right,
the way we live our lives, the experiences of daily life, then we move into our faith.
Absolutely.
That's a great thing.
And their outreach to young adults, Charis Ministries, offers some wonderful ways for young adults to get connected and learn more about their faith.
Yes. Great.
We are going to take a break right now. Thanks so much for being with us. We will return with Mr. Tom McGrath, Father Cusick, and Kate DeVries right after this. Stay with us.
The Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Give thanks to the Lord, for God is good.
The Catholic Church is urging people in neighborhoods across the United States to participate in the 2010 census. Hello, I'm Bishop Joseph Perry, and I'd like to encourage everyone listening to be counted as part of the census. Your participation is vital. The census helps determine political representation and the level of funding for schools, hospitals, parks, and other services where you live. Hundreds of billions of dollars are at stake. Fill out the census forms when you get them in the mail. Do not be afraid of being counted. By law, names and addresses remain confidential, and only numbers are published. You have nothing to lose, but much to gain when you fill out the census forms. Please participate, and may God bless you.
Come experience what makes the Catholic Church unique, relevant, and compelling for young people today. Hundreds of Catholic teens will gather April 16th through the 18th at Guerin College Prep High School for the Bread of Life Youth Retreat. All teenagers are invited. Experience dynamic music, inspirational talks, personal testimonies, and celebrate Mass with Cardinal George. Here's what past recipients say about the Bread of Life Retreat.
I really like the retreat. They tried to help you out with God's message and guide you in life.
After this retreat, I became more open to God, my parents, and my elders.
The Bread of Life Retreat gives young people permission to be alone with Jesus in the Eucharist and become better friends with our Lord.
To learn more about this unforgettable retreat and to register, call 312-534-8044 or go to breadoflifechicago.org. That's 312-534-8044. Or breadoflifechicago.org.
Rejoice forever. Let the house of Israel say, God's mercy endures. God's mercy endures forever.
And welcome back to the Light Show with Mr. Tom McGrath, Father John Cusick, and Dr. Kate DeVries. We are delighted to be with you, and today we are celebrating, continuing our celebration of resurrection, and we invite your calls, your comments. We would love to have you answer Father Cusick's question, what impact does the resurrection have on you in your life?
Mm-hmm.
You can do that by calling us at 312-255-8408. Again, 312-255-8408.
And Kate, let's put that question to Tom.
Yeah.
All right, Tom McGrath, Vice President, Loyola Press, all these fancy titles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Husband, father, man of faith, Southsider gone north. What what impact, Tom, does this event of the resurrection of Jesus say to Tom McGrath?
You know, John, that question came up to me on Easter itself. I was lector at St. Vitus, and as I was reading, one of the readings was talking about that, and some of us were allowed to see the events of Jesus, the risen Lord, and those that were chosen by God. And I thought, boy, wouldn't that have been wonderful to see Jesus, the risen Lord?
Sure.
And then I thought, well, I am one of those who's chosen who gets to do that. I'm part of the group that gets to see that because we believe. And so the impact on my life, I began to, as I prepared the reading that week before Easter, I was thinking a lot about where have I seen signs of the risen Lord. And I just thought of all the different places. One came up in particular. I had been talking with a good friend of mine whose son is autistic. And he shared with me how difficult it had been when he realized that the dreams he had for his son were not going to take place. Mm-hmm. And he had to grieve about that and honor those feelings. And yet when he got to the other side, when he experienced that little death, a large death in his life, something new rose up. He was able to see his son for what he, for who he is and all the gifts that he had. And he began to see new gifts in himself, too, gifts he didn't expect he had. And so what I think the resurrection means for me, it's a way, it's a game changer. It says that death and disappointment is not the end of the story, that there is more to it. And in fact, it tells us something really about God, the nature of God. God says, you see the resurrection, life coming from death? That's how I roll.
Right.
That is. If you want to know me, that's what you've got to know about me.
Right.
It's essential.
You know, and to realize that this message that Jesus brought, he did it unwaveringly. To me, absolute faithfulness. And he took this message of life is stronger than anything to the darkest places where humanity lives,
right,
to suffering.
Mm-hmm.
To the ignominy of death, and he would not waver.
Right.
With that firm belief that the Father will raise me up, I will be raised.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it just validates so much in life.
Right. And it's totally a different way of living once you get that.
Right.
It offers, basically, how would you live with hope if you didn't have that sense?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's the key thing for Catholics.
Right.
Why do I do what I do? Because Jesus rose.
Mm-hmm.
Or else, why bother?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's interesting. Throughout the history of the Church, we've always held together that Paschal mystery, which is, again, the life and then death and then new life. So even the Easter celebration, we don't celebrate Easter until after we've worked our way through Good Friday,
right,
and the being in the tomb on the Easter Vigil, just kind of Holy Saturday. But they've been so closely held together, and that sense of the death makes no sense without the resurrection. Resurrection doesn't make sense without understanding that we, as God's people, are going to keep moving through different transitions, the good news, the bad news, and in the end, there's always light. In the end, it's always about resurrection and new life.
When I look for signs, I think of all the different church basements where there are 12-step groups going on.
Mm.
These are people who, they hit bottom. I mean, life has they've gone through the dying, and they've found a resurrection. They may not think of it that way or call it that way, but that is what's going on. They have been redeemed. They have been saved. And it's not surprising to me that oftentimes that's what's going on in churches. People look to the churches to find a place to deal with those kind of things in their life.
Yes. Yeah. And you mentioned it, Tom. It's often a surprise. You know, that you don't know with an autistic child how you're going to feel, how it's going to shake out. Certain expectations aren't going to be fulfilled, but yet others are.
Mm-hmm.
It's always our God of surprises that bring in those moments of resurrection. And usually and often, it's at times and places and ways you never expect.
Right.
Just completely.
And beyond your wildest dreams.
Yes, yes, yes. And that's our faith.
In my public life as a priest, some of the most profound experiences of people encountering the risen Lord are so private they can't be shared.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of them are moments of reconciliation. You know, I've dealt with, I'll never forget the guy, I wound up 2 weeks after this happened of standing in front of his casket and blessing his casket. And his wife and his children were standing at the other side with tears in their eyes, and I'm standing at the other side with a smile on my face.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't know what I know. They didn't know that he came to confession and said, I'm tired of running.
Mm.
I've come to make peace with my God. And he just took his life and he broke it open.
Mm.
And I was the recipient of what poured forth as a representative of our church, as someone he saw as a flesh and blood representative of the God he believed in. It was no longer an intellectual experience. This was a real kind of thing. And he said, I want to make peace. And he said, I'm not going to be around for a long time. Little did I know that it was as short as that. And yet, I had tears in my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Because someone confronting their life, and all I could think of is, how was this man different from Jesus, confronting all the toughest things of life and saying there's something more and looking for that.
I when I think of resurrection, I often think about the man who lived in the tombs, the Gerasene demoniac.
Yeah. Mm.
And I thought, how often do I live in the tombs? And have I spent days and days choosing that as opposed to life because I didn't know any better? And then when you encounter Jesus, and then you think, it doesn't have to be like that.
Yeah.
What right. great words. I mean, that's to me what the resurrection says. It right. doesn't have to be like that.
There's a sense of liberation in it. Mm-hmm. You know,
well, you know, Christ when you look at it out of the eyes of resurrection, so many of the encounters between Christ and the people of the Scripture are resurrection encounters. He called them to life. Mm-hmm. They were locked into one way, either themselves locked in or the culture locked them in. I think of the hemorrhaging woman. Mm-hmm. She was nothing but a flow of blood. Mm-hmm. She was no longer someone's wife. She was no longer someone's mother. She no longer belonged to the community, and she wanted to be whole. And because of her belief in herself, she found life. That's resurrection.
Amen.
And we need to go to a break. Thank you so much for listening. We will be right back and continue our conversation on the resurrection.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
The Catholic New World brought you news on the cause for canonization of Father Augustus Tolton, and we'll continue to follow that story.
Visit our website at www.catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Celebrate Mother's Day with Cardinal George at the annual Mass for Expectant Mothers, sponsored by the Respect Life Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago. At this special Mass, all mothers will receive a blessing from the Cardinal, with a special blessing for expectant mothers and their unborn children. Expectant mothers will also receive a white silk rose and a medal of St. Gerard Majella, the patron saint of expectant mothers. So join us on Mother's Day, Sunday, May 9th at 11 a.m. at Holy Name Cathedral. Holy Name is located at 735 North State Street in Chicago, and limited parking is available. All are welcome. For more information, call the Respect Life Office at 312-534-5355 or go to www.respectlifechicago.org. We look forward to seeing you on Mother's Day at 11 a.m. at Holy Name Cathedral for the annual Mass for Expectant Mothers.
And welcome back to The Light Show with Father John Cusick, Dr. Kate DeVries, and Mr. Tom McGrath. We are delighted to be with you today, continuing our celebration of resurrection. And speaking of encounters of the risen Christ, I am delighted to introduce our next guest, who some of you may have seen or heard in some other element of the Archdiocese of Chicago's work. Annabelle O'Shea is with us by phone. Good morning, Annabelle.
Good
Good morning, Kate. Good morning, everyone, and happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you as well.
Thank you.
Annabelle comes to us from the Office for Divine Worship, where she is Director of Liturgies and Music. And I have to say, to listen to Annabelle play her flute just really puts you in heaven, no matter what else is going on in your life. So, Annabelle, thank you for the wonderful gifts you bring, and especially your gift of music.
Well, thank you very much. It's my pleasure to do that.
Yay. Annabelle, we've been posing the question, resurrection and what impact does it have on our lives, to all of our listeners and to our guests. Why don't we start there? Why don't you tell us just a little bit about yourself, and then we'll move to that resurrection question.
Well, I'm a cradle Catholic, a Southsider, born and raised here in Chicago.
Everybody's right. Going, woohoo! Too bad we're not on TV.
Nothing better than the South Side.
There you go.
In general. What does resurrection mean to me? It means hope. It means everything to me. Jesus is my Savior, and for all of us, of course. But hope in the resurrection, we live because of that hope. Jesus died for us, for our sins, and to purchase for us the rewards of eternal life. And I live in that hope. In that hope that I will see again those loved ones of mine who have already gone to their eternal reward. Resurrection for me is hope.
Okay.
Annabelle, Father Cusick here. Is there, how about if, for instance, in I'm going to put you on the spot here. in the life you live now, where has resurrection conditioned a way you look at life, a human experience that you might have had, conditioned a response, pulled hope out of you in terms of what you were living in an existential moment? Can you think of anything?
For me, the moment came about 20 years ago. I used to be the principal flutist in a symphony orchestra in the Northwest Indiana Symphony, and I was very, very happy in that role and learned a lot through that experience. And was there for 12 years. And one day I was on my way to rehearsal, and I was in a very, very bad car accident where a young girl hit me going 60 miles an hour. And only through the grace of God was I saved in that accident. But it impaired me to the extent that I cannot play flute for hours on end anymore, as I had to be a member of the symphony. I was always strong in my faith. I always played flute in church ever since I was in sixth grade. But through that experience of that car accident and not being able to continue my work in the symphony, God opened the window for me, God opened the door for me to focus my efforts on ministerial work in the church.
Okay.
And that is what has led me truly to this job where I am today as Director of Liturgies and Music for the Archdiocese of Chicago. So that was a resurrection experience for me, a dying to self and an opening to a new door, a new experience, a new resurrection for me.
Someone once said to me, this is sort of a reflective response, someone said to me, because of the resurrection, there are no dead ends.
Very true. Very you know? True. God always opens a new door for us.
Well, and I think we do too. You know, I'm sure you're saying after a horrific life experience, how do I get on with my life? How do I continue to make a contribution? And you found a way.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And it's not an easy road. There are many ups and downs. There's a lot of twists and turns.
Right.
But we stay with it, and God has the plan for us. We just need to be open to that plan.
And do you think, Annabelle, that after a while this becomes sort of a life attitude, looking for the more?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And if we didn't, where would we be?
Yeah.
You know, people who don't have that faith, I don't know how they handle all the trials of life. But certainly that hope in the resurrection is what grounds me.
Yeah, I think I'm just sitting here reflecting on that you can have a pity party maybe for an hour or for a day or a week, but
right.
If you believe in the Lord, get over it.
That's right, exactly.
You know, I mean that seriously. You know,
and in church language, we talk about being an Easter people, whatever that means. And I'm sure that part of it means an attitude of life and love and light always overcomes the darkness, and we will rise no matter what's going on. There is new life, that continuous.
I dealt with a person recently, and I'm not a therapist, Tom. You know, I'm a priest, and I think I tend to approach things more, believe it or not, out of the eyes of faith than I would out of, you know, let's hold hands and read Carl Rogers together. I love that, but that's not who I am. And I was dealing, Annabelle, with a gentleman who his life was coming apart, and I had done his wedding and on and on and on and on. And all he kept saying to me was, she left and I can't live without her, and how do I get her back? And I said, that's not the question. I said, would you live with you right now?
Ah.
I said, you're a miserable human being. I said, you're negative. You do not see light at the end of the tunnel. I said, would you live with you? And right. I startled him. And right. It dawned on me that that's the death and resurrection thing.
Right.
Come on, there's more inside of you.
And the road isn't easy.
Oh, it's the hardest thing in the world. Jesus died. I mean, that's our faith.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Wow.
Annabelle, can we ask you to hang with us for one more 10-minute segment? We'd like to talk a little bit about a liturgy right after our break.
Sure.
Does that work for you? Excellent.
Great.
Excellent.
We'll be right back.
To our listeners, yes, we will be right back.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
The Archdiocese of Chicago is promoting the cause for the eventual canonization of Father Augustus Tolton. We'll tell you why. Cardinal George delivers an historic speech at Brigham Young University. Catholics converge on Springfield to make their voices heard, and a Catholic priest who plays a mean guitar organizes a memorable jazz fest to help feed the hungry.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your archdiocese.
For the first time ever, Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of Chicago will welcome its national counterpart, Catholic Charities USA, to Chicago on April 29th for a leadership summit aimed at reducing poverty. This one-day summit, held at the Sheraton Chicago Hotel, will bring together local and national policy experts to strategize about how we can work together to reduce poverty in our community. Visit www.catholiccharities.net/summit to learn more and register online, or call 312-655-7525.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 AM, the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
He is risen. He is risen. Saint is with himself his love. Lift up your heart, God above.
And welcome back to The Light Show. We are delighted you are with us. We've been listening to music from World Library Publications, so a warm, wonderful thank you to them for sharing such great tunes with us. You can jump onto their website, World Library Publications, and hear more. But we are talking right now with Annabelle O'Shea from the Office for Divine Worship. And Annabelle, it is Easter season, and when you look at the whole season of Easter, we spend 40 days of Lent preparing for Easter. Then we celebrate the Triduum itself, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Saturday, Easter Vigil, and then, of course, Easter Sunday. And then we spend 50 days rejoicing after the actual celebration of Easter. So when you put that all together, the Easter celebration, the Easter preparation and celebration, make up even a quarter of our liturgical year, which I find kind of fascinating. We are a people of resurrection. We celebrate resurrection. And in fact, every single Sunday is a celebration of the life and death and resurrection of Christ. So it is our Easter feast. But now you work for the Archdiocese. You help prepare liturgies all over the place. And I know you're very connected at a number of different parishes. I'd like to talk for a couple of minutes about what special things are happening right now within liturgy, within our Catholic Mass.
You mean what is different about the Easter season?
Yeah, what's different now? What's exciting going on right now?
Well, the Easter season itself is very exciting. As you say, it's 50 days long. Outside of ordinary time, it's the longest season of the church year. And it is the most celebrated. It is the very core of our faith.
Yes.
As you say, we are an Easter people. And it is because of that that we celebrate for an entire 50 days. That's a week of weeks. That's 7 times 7, 7 days times 7 weeks, so 49 days, plus one more for God at the center. So we celebrate in 50 days. And even as you enter church any time during this Easter season, your senses should awaken to all of the different all of the differences that you would experience as opposed to the season of Lent, where we had been fasting in our personal lives and as well in our liturgical life. So in Easter, when you walk into church, the color is white or is gold instead of the purple of Lent. You should be able to smell the beautiful fragrance of the flowers as you walk into church. And we have fasted from that during the season of Lent, too. Perhaps there were some green plants in your church or maybe some cactus plants. But certainly now the Easter lilies and all the blooming flowers, and their beautiful fragrance and aroma just fills the church.
And even, you know, in the plant thing, even some parishes take the water out of the fountains, the baptismal fountains.
Yes.
And they put sand in there. And it's like, wait a minute, you go to grab some water. It's like, wait, what's happening here?
Yes, and that brings us to another point, too. During the Easter season, the font takes on special significance, and even we have a sprinkling rite that can replace the penitential rite at the beginning of Mass. The priest comes down and sprinkles holy water, the newly blessed Easter water, on the assembly during the season of Easter. So your senses should be filled with sights and sounds of the Easter season. The Alleluia has returned.
That's right.
So that your ears hear that new Alleluia as you sing it, and the assembly fills the church with Alleluia. We are an Easter people, and Alleluia is our song. And we have refrained from Alleluia all through the season of Lent, so it's really special when that returns for Easter.
Yes, that Gloria, that sense of,
yes.
Oh, God is risen, Christ is risen.
Right, and the Gloria is another element of the liturgy that's back now during Easter that we had fasted from during the season of Lent. So we celebrate the Gloria all through the Easter season and all the rest of the year, too, outside of Advent and Lent.
Yes. Now, you mentioned the sprinkling rite. It is so much about a renewal of our baptismal vows, isn't it?
Oh,
a
yes.
Sense of baptism. There's flowing water. I know in some parishes that I've visited, there is an actual water fountain, and you can hear the water. I love that sound. You're talking about awakening the senses.
Right, absolutely.
Flowing water.
Absolutely.
It's an amazing time. I love it.
At Easter Vigil, we celebrated the baptisms of the people who are coming into the faith for the first time. In many parishes, we celebrate that baptism through immersion at the immersion fonts, and that makes the symbol all the more palpable.
Yes, yes. And when you think about it, all 357 or so of our parishes have been bringing people in. You know, it's the time of baptism. It's the time of bringing other Christians into the Catholic faith. And just the whole sense that we as a church are all on the same page, doing the same thing. We all renew our baptismal vows. It is an exciting time.
That's right. That's right. Yes, we do welcome our people who have come into the faith, but we also renew our own baptismal promises, as you say.
Yes.
We are an Easter people.
Yes.
This is Tom McGrath. I just want to say that, to me, is the greatest sign of Easter, all these new people that have arrived, and to welcome them of different ages, different stories,
yes.
And they found what they're looking for right where I am, and it
mm-hmm.
helps me to appreciate what I have and take a second look at it.
Yeah.
And different backgrounds. And, you know, as we celebrate the rites of election during the season of Lent at Holy Name Cathedral, 5 rites of election, and all of those people are coming into our Catholic Church here in Chicago different colors of skin, different languages that they call their mother tongue, but they are all with us, and we walk that journey with them too.
And they are on fire. I mean, they are so ready to learn the faith and share the faith and, ooh, tell me what's next. It's such an exciting time.
And that enlivens our faith, too. We see the faith through their new eyes, and that helps us on our journey, too.
Yes, it does. It's a wonderful witness.
Yeah.
Annabelle, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Well, it's my pleasure. And happy Easter. Enjoy the rest of the season, everyone.
Okay, you too. Thanks for being with us now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And we are going to go to another break. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being with us. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about family and back to that original question, what does resurrection say to each and every one of us in our everyday lives? We'll be right back.
Heaven trembles, death Christ did forsake. Paschal victim, he did offer on the tree of life. His last breath, a breath eternal, now brings joy and life. Jesus Christ is risen. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Tour rooms of antique mechanical curiosities, including a 19th century steam engine and a European carousel. Enjoy an elegant dinner and participate in an auction emceed by radio personality Gary Meyer at the 21st annual Hearts for Homeless Families fundraiser on Saturday, May 22nd. Held at the San Filippo Estate in Barrington Hills, the event will benefit Catholic Charities Northwest Regional Services and its New Hope Apartments program. Tickets are $160. For more information, visit www.catholiccharities.net/hearts or call 847-376-2.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Welcome back to The Light Show with Father John Cusick, Mr. Tom McGrath, and Dr. Kate DeVries. We are delighted to be with you speaking about resurrection. And we do want to remind you that if you have any young adults in your life, anybody in their 20s and 30s who might benefit from some of the programs and resources that we have to offer, the calendars, prayer resources, online resources, we are happy to assist you and them. Excuse me. You can contact our office at 312-466-9473. Again, 312-466-9473. Or just plant a little seed, have people jump onto our website, YAM, that stands for Young Adult Ministry, YAMChicago.org.
And on the opening page of our website, you'll find, I think, on the bottom left, if you'd like to add any young adult's email address to the e-letter that we send out several times a month, you can do that right there. What we're looking for are those who are in their 20s and 30s, whether they be married or single. And our task is to reach out to them. We realize that many people might be a little sort of shaky and iffy, and I'm not sure about all of this stuff at this time in my life. That's okay. But if we can let them know that there is a church that cares, and that if they're looking for something in their life, here are some options, opportunities, either where people gather, some experiences. Theology on Tap will be coming up in July, taking place all over the Chicago area. Who knows? So if you're a grandparent or a parent of a somebody, a 20-something or a 30-something, yamchicago.org, look on that homepage, and then you'll see a place to sign up somebody, and then we'll take it from there. So if you help us, we'll try to help you and to help the young adult community in the Archdiocese of Chicago the best. And you don't even have to live in Chicago. If you've got kids or grandchildren that are in Boston, New York, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and you just want to let them know that there's an experience of the Catholic Church that is present to them if they so choose, we'd be more than happy to do that. Tom McGrath, I want to ask you a question.
Sure.
We're talking about resurrection, the impact it has on our lives. I want to put you on the hot seat, because one of the other roles and titles you have in this world is parent. And as a parent, how has this thing called faith, and particularly this cycle of death and resurrection of Christ that Kate's talking about, what influence has that had on you as you and your bride, Kathleen, have raised your kids? Can you think what?
Oh, absolutely! It's a core thing. I think when you asked me that question, the first thing popped in my head, John, was my daughter had gone off to Ecuador to study in her junior year of college, and we used to get infrequent phone calls. And one time, we were ending up a phone call and thinking, "Oh, good, she's safe, everything's fine." And at the end of it, she said, "And don't worry about the volcano." And I said,
something small.
And I said, what? And then, of course, we heard that a volcano in Quito was blowing its top. And we had to do what parents always have to do, and that is to let go.
Yeah.
And it reminded me that there are really two big virtues that parents have. And one is to welcome our child into the world, into our family, into our life, and welcome who they are and not who we want them to be. Yeah. And the second one is to let them go. You know, not you're just kind of holding them and snuggling them, and pretty soon they're off down the block and off to kindergarten and off to a job, to school, et cetera. And that's typically what goes on. So I think parents are in that process constantly of that welcoming and receiving what's true, you know, suffering reality, as Richard Rohr says, and the other is to really let go into God. So I think for me, and that continues on. My daughters are young adults, and they have to do a lot of welcoming and letting go of their parents at this point. So I think it's a process that we're all in throughout our lives. But in family life, there are a lot of little deaths you have to accept with the ego, because we're living in community.
Right, right. And I think, too, what can you do but give a kid a dream?
Oh, yes.
You know?
Yeah.
The dream of what can be.
I think that's the other thing. Kids will often come to their parents and say, you know, they catastrophize everything during their teen years, and, that life is horrible. And for us to hold out, you're more than that. Right. You really, you know, you're stronger than you know. You have access to power that you don't even dream of, and it's there and it's true. And to model that, and then to remind them of that.
And I think sometimes, too, you know, not being a parent, but watching, you know, all my life, that parents, to give their children a lens out of which to look at life.
Mm-hmm.
How do you give them the lens of dreaming? You know, and I can't help but think on Easter Sunday, the gospel really of Peter and the beloved disciple on their way to the tomb.
Mm-hmm.
And when that little story ended, only one believed. And it was the one who looked into the tomb with the eyes of love. Peter, it didn't say what he saw, but the beloved disciple looked and believed. Mm-hmm. And somehow he got a way of looking at life that I think parents would love and do pass on to their kids.
Well, and I think that's the key, is to really let children know that there's more than meets the eye. Yeah. If they only believe, you know, the rational mind, faith is not going to make any sense, because pretty soon that'll all fall apart.
Right.
But if you can say, no, we need to see this as a story that's a grander story, that we need to look with the eyes of the heart and the eyes of the soul, then it begins to make sense.
Right.
That's an attitude of faith and an attitude of resurrection.
Yes.
An attitude of believing and, wonderful, wonderful. We are going to go to our last break. We are so delighted. Thanks to all of our listeners for listening. And when we come back, we'll tell you a little bit more about what's happening through Young Adult Ministry and some final thoughts about the resurrection. So please stay with us.
Jesus is not in the tomb. He has been raised and the veil is torn. Jesus is not in the tomb. Mercy is showered on earth. Mercy is showered on earth. Now we are called to give thanks and to serve. Mercy is showered on earth. Alleluia.
Hello, I'm Lisa Pilato, the Catholic Charities Junior Board Manager, and this is the Junior Board Mission Minute, 60 seconds of the latest and greatest updates on events and opportunities for you to get involved. In April, we will continue our regular volunteer opportunities, including emergency assistance food packing on the first and third Tuesday of the month at 6 p.m. and our Read to Me program that reads to the kids in one of our shelters every Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. A featured event in April is our quarterly Mass and Brunch program. We are honored to welcome Father John Foley, Executive Chair of the Crystal Ray Network, to celebrate Mass and give a reflection during brunch following the service. Join us at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday, April 11th in the chapel at 721 North LaSalle for this Faith Committee event. There's always a way to help your neighbor at Catholic Charities. Consider joining our Junior Board. For more information on these events and others, call 312-655-7932 or visit catholiccharities.net. And of course, stay tuned for the next Junior Board Mission Minute.
This is Bishop Blaise Supich of Rapid City, Chair of the U.S. Catholic Bishops Committee on the Protection of Children and Young People.
And I'm Diane Knight, Chair of the National Review Board.
April is National Child Abuse Prevention Month, and we'd like to share with you some of the things the Catholic Church is doing to protect children.
In dioceses across the country, more than 2 million adults have been trained to recognize the behavior of offenders, helping us to create and maintain safe environments.
Since 2002, the bishops in this country have enforced a zero-tolerance policy on abusers. If a credible accusation is made against a cleric, he is permanently removed from ministry regardless of how long ago the offense occurred. Child sexual abuse is a serious problem in society. The Church will continue to work with others to stop it. To learn more, visit our website, usccb.org/OCYP.
Mary, declare what you saw. Mary, declare what you saw. The stone moved away and the shroud on the floor. Mary, declare what you saw.
And welcome back to The Light Show with Mr. Tom McGrath, Father John Cusick, and Dr. Kate DeVries. Tom, it's been such a joy to be with you.
That's been a delight.
Excellent. Tom, I believe you have one more bit of wisdom for us, something else to share with our listeners.
Well, when you invited me to come and talk about resurrection, I looked through my mind and said, well, what do I know about this topic and from my life? And what came to mind was a time a couple of months before my dad died. And it had been a prolonged illness, and I was sitting with him, and just the two of us on the couch, we turned the TV off and sat quiet for a while.
Okay.
And he turned to me and he said, Tom, do you believe that there's life after death?
Mm-hmm.
And he asked it in a way and from a place that I knew this is not a rhetorical question. And so I thought, I'm not going to start lying to my dad now.
No.
And I thought, what do I believe? And I've had a lot of struggles with that over time, trying to figure out what the heck does this mean? How do you make sense of this? Yeah. And I looked into my heart and I turned to him and I said, Dad, from all I know of how life has gone, for every little death I've had, there's always been a resurrection. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do believe. I don't know what it's going to look like. Right. I don't know how it's going to play out, but I do believe, and I'm staking my life on it. Yeah. He was quiet for a long time, and he turned to me, and he said, yeah, I do too. Mm. And I think that's that gave me so—when I stood at his funeral, I was confident. I thought, that's all I need to know. That's my faith. And that's how he lived. He lived that way, and now I want to live that way. So it's a great conversation.
Oh, a powerful story of faith. You know, that sense that this is all real, you know? I mean, in our world where so many things seem to be falling apart, this is something we can hang on to. This is real. It makes a difference.
Yeah. And again, maybe we're back to where we began. You know, where would we be without it? You know, why be good? Why be hopeful? What, you know, why should I care about the world in which I live?
Right.
You know, when so many people say, it forget that. It's about me. No, it's not about me. It's about the contribution that we can build a better world. Jesus did that. He took faithfulness to places nobody said you could be faithful. Right. You will give in. You will collapse. You'll be just like everybody else. My God wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And once you get that in your heart, you have to share it.
Yeah.
I mean, and not just telling about it, but living it and inviting people to it.
Yeah, you have to witness.
Yeah.
Yeah, you witness by doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Hey, Tom, thanks. This has been wonderful this morning.
I've just enjoyed it so much to be with you guys.
We want to run a few ideas in young adult ministry. Kate passed our listeners today, and then we're going to ask Tom to end with what one book coming out of Loyola Press would he suggest to our listeners that they would benefit from reading.
All right. Then really quickly, as we mentioned earlier, all of the events happening through Young Adult Ministry and from around the Archdiocese of Chicago and a little bit beyond that can be found on our website, yamchicago.org. Just a few things I want to highlight this evening and for a number of Wednesday nights starting tonight from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at St. Giles Parish. We are working with St. Giles through the Kateri Center for Young Adult Ministry in a conversation series about Catholics going green. So let's talk about care of the earth and what we can do to make a difference. We also want to point out, also through the Kateri Center, there will be a dinner and discussion hosted through in the LaGrange area for young adults near LaGrange. So if you're anywhere in the western suburbs, please connect with Elise Ainsworth, who directs the Kateri Center. Her contact information is all on our website, yamchicago.org. Flip side of that, the Isaac Hecker Center is hosting a celebration of Mass with an explanation at St. Anne's Parish in Lansing. So if you're anywhere near the southeast suburbs and can get to St. Anne's, that's going to happen on Sunday, April 25th. Father Cusick, I believe you're going out there to add commentary to
I'm
going to
do a little explanation of Mass as one of the priests is going to preside at worship.
Yes, and Terry Shelley again can be reached through our website, yamchicago.org. And one last major event we want to highlight is that the weekend of May 7th to the 9th, Charis Ministries, again the Jesuit outreach to young adults, is holding a wonderful retreat on social justice, and it's called For the Least of My Brothers. That information can be found on their website, charisministries.org, charisministries.org. So again, all of this can be found through our website.
Great. And as we go out today, Tom McGrath, Vice President of Product Development, Loyola Press, one great book every Catholic should be reading right now.
We talked about a lot of good questions. This book is How Big Is Your God by Paul Catino.
How Big Is Your God by Paul Catino, Loyola Press, and that's
www.loyolapress.com.
Thank you. Be blessed in all you do.
Happy
to your
Easter,
wife and
everybody.
Kids, happy Easter.
Yay.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
Blessings to all.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.
Christ is our joy. is our joy and our life.